You are Locked On Sooners, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Sooners Nation, and welcome to the Thursday edition of the Locked On Sooners podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Make sure you mention that Locked On sent you in their How Did You Hear About Us box. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is John Williams. You can follow me on Twitter at John9Williams. And joining me back out of SEC country, surviving the trip home with all them kids, is David Walker. You can follow David on Twitter at D_walk74. You can also hear him on the Iron Horse podcast with NFL cornerback Brandon Carr. David, how's it going, man? You got that road trip lag going on yet?
I do have that road trip lag. Nothing like coming home from a 12-hour drive where you go from Georgia to Bama to Mississippi to Louisiana back to Texas, only to wake up and get your kids ready for Valentine's party at school. And, you know, it's just that kind of stuff will get your blood flowing in the morning, especially if you got a crying 3-month-old baby in the background in the midst of all of it. It really kind of sets off that post-road trip feeling. But, John, I am happy today to be on a Thursday show with you talking about the Sooners, talking about some basketball, talking about some defensive backs. We got a lot lined up today. So, yeah, I'm ready to go get it.
Yeah, it's great to have you back, man. And I appreciate you filling in from the driveway in the cold Georgia winter there on the Monday and Tuesday show. And glad to have you back ringside, though, because, it's not the same without my tag team partner by my side here.
Yeah, man, got to be ready for the hot tag. And also got my audio back. I'm not in the boonies on the cell phone trying to find a signal standing out in the cold. No elements to endure today. So we're ready to go.
Yeah. Hey, so if you're new to the show, if you're just listening for the first time, again, I'm John Williams. Been covering football for a while, mostly of the Dallas Cowboys. Came on Locked On back in September. David joined me back then as well. David's a former Oklahoma Sooners offensive lineman, played back in the early 2000s with Bob Stoops. And so we're coming at this from a couple of different angles. Former player, you got David, you got me, who's been covering football for about 5 years now. But yeah, we're excited to talk football. We love talking football, but we want to talk basketball with you because basketball is a hot topic, especially with how well Oklahoma is playing right now in the Big 12. Currently, they're third in the standings in the Big 12 and have an opportunity to jump up into second. Got a big matchup with West Virginia coming up on Saturday. Now, David, just give me your first impression about what it's going to take for Oklahoma to win this matchup.
Well, to me, when you go on the road, one of the things you want to make sure that you do is not allow their best players to beat you. Obviously, they've got four guys in double figures that are averaging double figures. So they've got many weapons at West Virginia. But when you go on the road, you want to protect the three-point line. They shoot 37% as a team, and that's not a staggering number, but it's good enough. I mean, that's what they're averaging for the season. You can bet they're averaging a better percentage at home. So you want to protect the three-point line, have disciplined closeouts, make them earn stuff, and don't put them on the free throw line. I think one of the things Oklahoma has done such a great job of this season is in a lot of their wins, if you go look at the box score, and this is a tried and true basketball coach's approach to a game, like a standard key to the game of any coach from high school up through the NBA, you want to make more free throws than your opponent's attempt. And Oklahoma has done a really good job of that. They're good at getting into the bonus early. They're pretty good at playing sound defense. So what it's going to take, it's going to take team defense. It's going to take individual defense as well. What I mean by that is close out accountability. So when you close out on a shooter, that first and second closeout's important, but the fourth closeout is just as important in that possession. You got 30-second shot clock. The first three closeouts are good, but you get one penetrating pitch and that last closeout, you either have a bad closeout and they get a shot because you don't go out far enough, or you go out of control and they get a drive to the basket, they get a foul late in the possession. So those are the kind of things I'm going to be looking for is, closeout discipline and then also, rebounding, not giving up second shots and controlling the glass. So, Brady Manick coming off of a 15 rebound game in Norman against Iowa State. And with West Virginia, I think they've got the size that Kerkquinn is going to have to play more. But if they try to go small with that lineup that Brady Manick plays a center spot, then he has to be a guy that's going to go and clean up the glass on the defensive end. Offensively, if he gets some rebounds there, that's great too. But you don't want to give up second and third shots on the road.
And that's one of the things I feel like they struggled with against Iowa State, was because they were playing such a small lineup, they were struggling on the rebounding end of the floor. And they got to be a better team rebounding, or rebounding team as a group. They can't just rely upon Brady Manek to get all those defensive boards and prevent those second chance opportunities. So I think that's really a lot of what kept Iowa State in that game on Saturday, a game that Oklahoma probably should have ran away with, but because of those second, third opportunities. And you mentioned it, you know, a lot of open opportunities from the 3-point line as well. Iowa State was able to keep that game close. And you're right. They're not going to be able to allow West Virginia to have the open shots like that or the second chance opportunities. Now, what does it mean that they've got Austin Reeves back? What kind of impact will he have in this game?
Well, Austin Reeves, to me, is far and away the most important player on this team as far as making this team go. Now, Harkless defensively has been a catalyst, and he has been the one, I feel like, as they've ridden this wave of momentum, he's been the one that's kind of set the tone defensively. Now, he's been the one that has not missed time. So you had Brady Manek miss time. You had Reeves and Alonzo Williams go out with COVID issues. But Harkless has been that constant. However, you saw it in Lubbock. When you need buckets on the road, you have to have your best playmaker on the floor. I mean, and to go out to Morgantown and win against Bob Huggins in West Virginia, they're too well coached. They're too athletic defensively to not have a good game from Austin Reeves. So a little bit about why I think Austin Reeves is so important to this team. It's not just the statistical component. Yes, he's one of the only players in America. You know, as of a week or two ago, he was the only player in America averaging over 15 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. So that's all great. But it's the way that he plays. It's the way that he carries himself. He is an irritant on the defensive side. He's a guy that will, maybe it's a flop, maybe it's not, but he'll take a charge. He'll do things to annoy the other team. He's the kind of guy that if you're not on his team, you probably don't like him very much. Mm-hmm. But if you're pulling for him, you love the guy because he plays, he just knows how to play. He's not an elite athlete. I mean, maybe he'll prove me wrong. I don't see him ever playing in the National Basketball Association. He might be a G League type guy. He might go play overseas, but he's not getting by on elite athleticism. He's getting by on the fact that he knows how to play. He knows how to get in people's head defensively. He knows how to get to the right spot. So he's trying to beat you to a spot. He's not trying to out-athlete you when he goes to take a charge. He's trying to beat you to a spot, get in front, take a charge. Then on the offensive side, he's trying to get you in foul trouble. So he's going to fake, pivot, shot fake, take one more step in, try to get a guy up in the air, try to get a guy to play undisciplined defense. And all of a sudden he's shooting 11, 12, 13 free throws in a game. You're like, how do you get to the line so many times? Because he's intentional about it.
Right.
And you need a guy like that when he's a senior, he's your leader. He puts up the points, but also he gets other guys going. So these obscure fouls, it might seem like they don't mean that much in the first 5-6 minutes of the game because he gets a guy to reach on an extra fake or an extra pivot step. All of a sudden that's the foul that gets you to the bonus next time. So it's those little things that he does through the game that if you're just watching to see, you know, is he going to hit a step back three? Is he going to go get an and one? If you're just looking for that stuff, it's not always going to wow you, but it's those plays within the game that might be nondescript, but over the course of the game, it adds up. It gets guys in foul trouble. It gets the Sooners into the bonus quicker. And those are the little things. When you have a team that's a sum of its parts, like Oklahoma, the margin of error isn't that big. So you need Austin Reeves to be doing those little things, those dirty, the dirty work, if you will, that aren't going to be box score relevant, but they're going to be things that show up big time in the outcome of a game. And coaches know, man, like coaches, when they're watching Oklahoma play, they're trying to tell their guys, look, don't go for his fakes. Don't go for his fakes. I mean, I promise you there's no secrets in the Big 12. They all see the tape. They've seen him do it 1,000 times. And yet you just watch on Saturday, he's going to get a guy to do something stupid. He's going to get a guy to foul him on a three. He's going to get a guy to foul him on a 12, 15 foot off balance jumper. He's going to go to the line and Bob Huggins is going to be pulling his hair out just because Austin Reeves knows how to play.
And that's one of the differences I saw in the Texas Tech game versus the Iowa State game was obviously Austin Reeves' presence brought a lot more control to their offense. I thought against Texas Tech, and we talked about it in our postgame show, it was a pretty sloppy performance in the first half. But once they kind of settled in the second half, you know, they were much more under control. They're playing with more discipline offensively. And I think they had that from the outset against Iowa State, a lot due to Austin Reeves' presence and his ball handling ability. When he's handling the ball out of the point, he's controlling the flow, he's controlling the tempo, and everybody's playing with much more control. And I think that makes a difference just to the, obviously the big scheme of their offense throughout four or two halves of basketball. And so, yeah, it's a huge impact that he's going to provide. And again, I talked about it the other day, I think having him back, and even though they're running on a short rotation right now, they're getting their guys in cohesion, in continuity, as they head into the final stretch of their Big 12 schedule, which, and I said it on the show the other day, that every single game they've got left the rest of the season is a winnable game for them. And so they could very well find themselves as the number two seed heading into the Big 12 tournament with an opportunity to avoid Baylor until potentially the final. And that's huge. That's a huge opportunity. And it allows them to potentially rise in the NCAA tournament, you know, seeding, outside of just the four seed or maybe the third seed, as USA Today is predicting them to be right now.
Yeah. And the trick to that is obviously you want to win out and you want to, you know, get that two seed, right? But just as important, if not equally important or more so, or however you want to square it, is just the fact that when you go play these games like a Saturday in Morgantown and it's on national television on Saturday, you know, afternoon, you want to make sure that you are putting a good quality product on the court.
Right.
You don't want to have a game where people walk away and say, oh, that's the Oklahoma we thought we were going to get this year. They are playing over their head. You don't want to go out there and get beat by 20, 25. You want to stay in that 5-6 point range. If you're going to lose, you want to go down with a battle. So I think those quality losses are what they need to make sure that they are at least getting that on Saturday. If they go down, you don't want to have your bubble busted. You don't want to get a confidence hit by getting blown out by somebody. And you also don't want to give the committee any reason to second guess where they see you right now. So I think just playing good basketball is going to take care of all of that. I think they're going to win more than they lose if they're doing what they need to be doing in that regard. But I also think that it's just really important that they control what they can. And this is going to sound like coach speak, and it's probably fair. I'm a fourth generation basketball coach in addition to the offensive line stuff.
Yeah. And former women's college basketball coach at Arkansas.
Yeah, I know I'm a weirdo with that weird pedigree there. But this is coach speak, but it literally just comes down to possession by possession, just controlling what you can control, getting stops, just continue to get stops and play out each night like it's a championship fight. Because in the Big 12, you saw with Iowa State, you take your eye off the ball for a game, you all of a sudden you're fighting tooth and nail to get a win against a winless team in the league. So there's not any gimmies out there. They're going out there playing a top 15 team in West Virginia, looking for the sweep on the road. You're right where you want to be. You got the win in hand at home. Now you're going on the road looking to sweep them. But like you said, I mean, if you can avoid Baylor in the Big 12 tournament until a championship game potentially, or hey, maybe they get upset along the way, then that's great. But I think it's just continue to accumulate wins, keep putting them in the left-hand column, and, you know, don't believe your own hype. Don't let let anything, any outside noise, affect what you've been doing so well, which is just focusing on the defensive end and letting everything else take care of itself as a byproduct of that. So to me, the biggest thing in this game, you know, where I see it being decided, is on that side of the floor. West Virginia is averaging 76 a game. Oklahoma's giving up 67 a game. If this game is in the 60s, if Oklahoma's holding West Virginia in that 60 to 65 point range, I think Oklahoma gets the win. If they're having to score 80 points on Saturday to win, I like West Virginia, but I'll take Oklahoma in this one, 67 to 61.
Love it. Love it. We're going to go Boomer Sooner on that one for sure. And I don't disagree with that score prediction at all. But talking about a team that needs to not believe their own hype, we'll get into the Oklahoma Sooners football team, who is one of the favorites to win the national championship next year. You got the Heisman Trophy favorite in Spencer Rattler. But we're going to go to the defensive side of the ball. We're going to talk about the defensive backs coming up next on the Locked On Sooners podcast. But before we do that, let me talk to you a little bit about rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much at a storefront auto parts store when you can get the same or better price at rockauto.com? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. In February is Black History Month, and the Locked On Podcast Network is honoring the challenges and successes of Black men and women in sports with a new series called Locked On Presents, More Than the Game. Don't miss this week's episode featuring Candace Cooper of Locked On Tar Heels and Erica Ayala of Locked On Women's Basketball discussing the opportunities and challenges that come with being a Black woman in sports. There's a new episode coming next week, so go ahead and subscribe to the Locked On Presents podcast feed on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts. And like I mentioned in the last segment, we're going to start talking a little bit about the Oklahoma defensive backs and where they're headed in 2021. But real quick, I want to talk about Oklahoma women's softball is opening their schedule tonight against UTEP on the road in El Paso. So make sure you give a shout out to the Oklahoma women's softball team, one of the favorites in the country, one of the best teams in the country. So shout out to the women out there. We got your back. Go get a big W tonight at UTEP. Go take down the Miners. But David, let's talk about the defensive back group for Oklahoma that's coming in this year. A great article that was written over there at heartlandcollegesports.com by Timothy Bailey, just really analyzing where Alex Grinch is heading in the defensive back group. And the basic premise of his article is this. All the guys that we've seen Oklahoma roll out in the secondary over the last few years weren't Alex Grinch guys. They were Mike Stoops guys. You know, players from Brennan Riley Hiles to Woody Washington, Delarin Turner, Yale, Patrick Fields, all these guys that have played a lot of meaningful snaps for the Sooners. They're not the Alex Grinch guys that, you know, that he's been looking for at this point in time. And what he's basically saying is Alex Grinch is looking for size and speed out of the defensive backfield, similar to what Alabama has rolled out. And so let's look at all these guys that are going to be coming in and playing big, significant snaps for the Sooners in 2021 and beyond, and who these guys are. So you got DJ Graham, who made several significant plays in 2020, several interceptions, kind of rotating in as a cornerback. He stands 6'1". And then there's Justin Harrington, 6'3". And then you got Joshua Eaton, 6'2". Kendall Dennis, 6'1". And safeties Bryson Washington at 6'2", and then our newest transfer from Tennessee, or one of the transfers from Tennessee, Oklahoma East over there, Key Lawrence at 6'2". I mean, all these guys coming with size. Then you got freshmen coming in this year. You got safety Jordan Mukes at 6'4", and then another cornerback at 6'2", Damon Harmon, and Latrell McClutchin also 6'2". So basically, there is a trend here that Alex Grinch wants size. He wants a lot of it, and he wants it all over the secondary. And Timothy did a good job at really comparing this to what Alabama's been rolling out the last few years as well, with Patrick Surtain and Trayvon Biggs, guys that stand over 6 foot tall on the outside. Now, David, talk a little bit about what that does for a secondary and why it's so important, in particular to Alex Grinch's scheme, why he wants size so much.
Well, first of all, let's just acknowledge that we're talking about Oklahoma defensive backs, and we're actually excited about talking about it, right? I mean, can we just like wonder aloud when was the last time we were going to dedicate a segment on this show or any Sooners content, whether it's ours or elsewhere? When was the last time people were talking about the defensive backfield as like this exciting, wow, look at what we got back here, and not the cringeworthy, oh my gosh, look at how much we gave up again, you know? So that in itself is pretty cool.
Yeah, I blame DJ Graham for this segment because he's got me hype already.
Well, I'm going to blame Alex Grinch if I have to only blame one person.
Yeah, there you go.
And I'm going to credit Alex Grinch more so. But
that's right.
You know, it really is interesting to see those numbers put on paper like that. And, you know, we'll put out this article because I think Heartland College Sports did a great job of kind of fleshing this out and giving some context to a fantastic read. But when you look at what Oklahoma has been trotting out there the last several years and you look at the teams they were trying to beat, right? I mean, there's a lot of takeaways. You say, we need more war daddies up front. We need those defensive tackles. We need those guys that look the part to make it easier on the defensive backs. And that was true as well. But, you know, the Buki experience, Brendan Radley Hiles entered the portal, and you know, I had a conversation with Eddie Radosovich about this last week, and it felt like he sort of got squeezed out by this lineup that we're talking about here, among other things. But some of the penalties that were taking place, the ones that weren't from a lack of discipline or, you know, the personal fouls or the unsportsmanlike, but the ones that were the holdings, the pass interferences that would leave you scratching your head, were more often than not, he's 5'8", 5'9". He's matched up sometimes with tight ends or 6'5", 6'7". Uh-huh. And he's doing everything he can to try to create an incompletion. He's being aggressive, and Oklahoma had to be more aggressive, more physical to try to overcome their lack of height. And they weren't always playing, you know, disciplined, sound coverage because of that. So they were operating at a disadvantage, even against Big 12 teams that they should be better than. So now Alex Grinch comes in, and he's basically provided the great equalizer here. And that roster that you just threw out there, the 6'1", there's some 6'3s and even a 6'4 in that conversation. So all of a sudden, those battles, when you can have confidence, when you're watching the game on TV sometimes, I feel like in the last certainly 4 to 5 years of Mike Stoops' run, it was one of those things, it could be 3rd and 27. And when that ball gets released and you can't see on the other side of the television screen what's about to happen when that ball gets thrown, you're just holding your breath, and you're almost – there was times where you're almost anticipating a completion, or at the very least a pass interference is going to extend this drive. Like, you would feel like, as a Sooner fan, man, 3rd and long, they got us right where they want us, because they're going to go attack our defensive backs and we can't do a dadgum thing about it. And now you can have some more confidence and say, okay, we could also try to be physical, but now we don't have to overcompensate. We can go get those 50-50 balls, and we're not at a disadvantage on those anymore. Whether that's in the red zone, or that's on the edge, or that's over the middle, that we might go into every matchup now with the advantage in those spots. And that, to me, is one of the things that when you look at Alex Grinch, and there's a lot of question marks about how long will he be at Oklahoma? Will he be a head coach somewhere else? Do we have 1 more year? Do we have 3 more years, 2? Who knows? But if he keeps recruiting like he's recruiting, he keeps stacking up these DBs that are 6'1 to 6'4. Well, then now all of a sudden, what that's doing is it's strengthening you in the short term, but it's also providing some insurance in the long term that whoever should come behind Alex Grinch, whenever that time comes, that this speed D they would be inheriting is going to be one where they don't have to come in and say, oh man, Grinch was doing all this, I got to overcome what he did. Now he's setting a table that somebody else, whether that's a Brian Odom internally or somebody externally that comes in, could just kind of have a turnkey defense that says, hey, we got the DBs, we got the guys up front, got great linebacker play, let's just keep on keeping on. And so that's another interesting development to me, is that the depth that's been provided by the amount of big bodies back there, that is just as encouraging as the fact that his philosophy is one thing, but the fact that he's been able to execute it to the extent that he has is huge for the secondary.
And I think that's a really important point that you mentioned in what happens after Alex Grinch. And I think ideally you'd like to see somebody that comes in with a similar philosophy as his just be able to walk in and continue to kind of play out that defensive scheme. And the thing that I think having these big defensive backs does for you as a defense is it allows you to play a lot of different coverages and play it well. Like, if you wanted to play cover 2 or cover 3, you're in really good shape to play those defenses because you've got guys with length that can play on the outside and man those zones. And when quarterbacks try to throw the ball over the top in those cover 2, cover 3 situations, you're going to have a really difficult time of doing that. If you want to play press man, you can do that because you've got big, physical, long corners that even if they get beat for a second and those guys get behind them, it's going to be difficult again to throw that ball over the top of those guys because they have such length to throw. And it's what we see in the NFL. A lot of teams are going to a lot of cover 3 and trying to bring in these big long cornerbacks because it makes it more challenging for the quarterback to throw the ball over the zone, over the top of that cornerback in that zone. And again, I think it just provides a lot of versatility and it's going to allow them to play a lot better matchup football. And Timothy Bailey in this Heartland College Sports article mentioned Charlie Kohler in particular. And I mean, that was a nightmare matchup for Oklahoma against Iowa State last year. And it was exactly what you mentioned. Anytime they needed a big play, what did they do? They threw it up to one of their tight ends, whether it was in the end zone or down the field, because they knew that either it was going to be a catch or it was going to be a penalty for holding or defensive pass interference. There was a 75% shot that was going to be the case. And more often than not, it was. And so I think you're absolutely right, is that it's going to allow these guys to play with much more sound technique and be more disciplined when they're playing against these bigger matchups. And again, you go back to like a Hakeem Butler, again, another Iowa State guy from several years ago. It didn't matter where they were on the field. If they just threw it up to Hakeem Butler, it was going to be a a positive play for them.
Yep. And that's how Hakeem Butler is a great example of that. And I believe he was a part of that 2017 loss to that Oklahoma took at home.
Yeah.
Where Baker was a quarterback, and that was the one game that kept them from maybe being the number one team in the country that year. Mm-hmm. And those are the matchups, guys, that when you're elite across the back end, then now all of a sudden these games Oklahoma has lost over the years because a team can find that weakness, that chink in the armor, that's how you lose to Kansas State. That's how you lose to Iowa State is, yes, you're more talented overall, but if they've got that one matchup or two that they can exploit and exploit and exploit, eventually that dam breaks and, you know, they get a little momentum off of it. And that's been the small margin of error that Oklahoma has had at that position that has impacted the entire football team. It's impacted Lincoln Riley's offensive play calling because now he had to approach each series in the second half as, man, you know, I got to do this because I, you know, my secondary, I don't trust them. Right? You know, now all of a sudden it has a calming effect on the rest of the program when you have a great secondary. And I think that's one of the biggest things that Oklahoma has not had in the last decade that I think we can finally look to 2021 and say, wow, we got some guys back there. Not only do we have a good group to start, but it's going to be competitive for mm-hmm. every spot in that secondary. I mean, you're going to have 2 to 3 guys battling for those spots. And the great thing behind that, you got depth, right? Turner Yale gets hurt and misses the game against LSU in the Peach Bowl. There's nobody back there. We're having to play pulling red shirts. Woody Washington's having to go out there and play, you know, and hadn't played hardly all year. They didn't have that kind of depth. So now they can withstand some injuries. They've got competitive spots going in practice. So it's going to make practice more competitive. And that's just going to be one of those where high tides raise all ships. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see what this secondary does. And I'm excited to come back and talk next segment about a guy that might be in the secondary, might be out there in the slot, might be doing both. Denton Ryan's Billy Bowman that will be coming into Norman as a freshman to watch. And we'll be back with that right here on Locked On Sooners. But now I want to tell you about betonline.ag. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine are provided. They have you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. So BetOnline is the place to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. If you use the promo code LOCKEDON when you head to their website or use your mobile device, you receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So sign up today at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And do you want more Big 12 coverage? Look, we got the Sooners on lock right here, no pun intended, but our boy Josh Neighbors, he's got the whole Big 12 conference covered, and he does it daily. So if you want more Big 12 coverage of the Big 12 hoop scene, Big 12 recruiting, coaching changes, predictions, the whole landscape, download Locked On Big 12 wherever you get podcasts. Josh has you covered on all things Big 12.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about Billy Bowman coming up in this segment because there's a big question about what he's going to do. And I saw a Twitter poll, and for the life of me, I cannot remember who put it out there. And so I apologize for taking this idea and running with it and not providing apt credit to whoever put out the question first. And I don't know, maybe several people have, I don't know. But anyway, my apologies for that. But anyway, the question is, where should Billy Bowman play? Should he play offense? Should he play defense? Should he play both? So David, give me your take on that. Where do you think Billy Bowman should play?
Everywhere. Is that too broad?
No, I don't know.
No. Okay. Well, I'll flesh it out a little bit.
Yeah.
So I had the privilege of watching Denton Ryan in the state championship game down here in Dallas. And one thing I would say just right off the top, the most talented high school football team I've probably watched possibly ever, just across the board. They got guys signing with all kinds of big time schools, just elite players across the field. And even at that being said, Billy Bowman just jumps off the field at you with his look, his presence, the plays that he makes. And this guy is the real deal. All right. If you are so inclined to do so, you can go to YouTube, you can go to Twitter, you can find the highlights. I'll give you two I'll give you a my recount of a couple of plays I saw in his semifinal game. He makes a one-handed catch down the field where he reaches out and pulls one in with, you know, his outstretched hand to bring a probably like a 40, 50 yard pass down the field, secures that one-handed at Cowboy Stadium. And why is Cowboy Stadium important in this conversation? Because he's playing on a big stage and he's playing in a place that Oklahoma calls their second home. And so I think that the context behind this is he's playing a state semifinal game. He's playing in Jerry World. He's out there making plays on both sides of the football with pressure on him, with the stakes high, with the Twitter world watching, with the state of Texas watching. He's making these plays look as easy as he can make them look for a high school kid. Same football game. Ball's thrown in the end zone. He reaches up, one hands it, intercepts it in the end zone. Turns around about 2 yards deep in the end zone. A bogus clip is called right there on the 1 yard line. A guy basically is like a little excuse me, a clip that shouldn't have even taken place, had no effect on the play. He returns that thing all the way for a touchdown that doesn't count. But he has a one-handed catch, a one-handed interception in the same game at Cowboy Stadium. And when I saw that, I thought, man, like how many guys in high school even make one play like that on either side of the football in their entire career? I'm not saying like a good high school player. I'm talking about like college football players, when they look back on their high school careers, how many of them say, man, you know, the best play I ever made, they might describe one of those two plays at any given point in their career. And he made both of those plays in the same game in the state semifinals against good people. I mean, Texas doesn't have bad football teams playing in the state semifinals. Sorry, Oklahoma fans, if you don't like hearing about Texas high school football, you know, you can cover yours from it if you need to. But let me just tell you, like, those teams are legit when they get that far. So he's out there making those kind of plays. And I see that and I think, man, which coach on that roster doesn't want him in their room? I mean, Norman, did the receivers coach not want him in there? Does Grinch not want him in the DB room? I mean, they're both going to be sitting there at the table asking Lincoln, like, hey, let's get him in August. Let's get him in the spring, whatever we can get him. Let's have those conversations. Let's get him on the field. Let's see where he's at. And let's not make any rash decisions one way or the other. And I think that's how they will play this out. And, you know, it reminds me of he's not the same body type, but I played with Andre Woolfolk in the early 2000s. He came in as a wide receiver at Oklahoma, was a big guy, 6'2", long. They moved him to the defensive side, and he ended up being a high draft pick of the Titans, had a great career at Oklahoma as a defensive back, but he did both for a little while. So I don't see any reason that Billy Bowman circumstantially couldn't do both at Oklahoma, but I think if you care about these kind of things, I'm sitting there watching that state championship game with Brandon Carr that I co-host the Iron Horse podcast with. Brandon's played 13 years in the NFL as a defensive back, started every game for 12 years. He knows good DB play. We were talking about this exact question during the game. His thought was, OU's always going to have great receivers. I'd put that dude at corner. I'd put him in the defensive backfield. Oklahoma's got receivers everywhere. His take was they should put him on defense. So if you care about the opinion of an NFL veteran, then that was his take. To me, as a Sooner fan, knowing what Lincoln Riley could do with him in the slot, seeing what he's capable of offensively, it'd be hard not to at least explore the possibility of that weapon on that side of the football too.
And I think you're right. I think the plan and the best way forward with him is get him into Norman, get him on the field, and just let him do both. There's no reason to rush him into any particular position, especially his freshman year. You can afford to let him redshirt. You don't have to get him on the football field unless you just want to for, you know, a few plays a game. But I think, yeah, I think the best way forward is to let him just play both for now. And then personally, for me, you know, you look at his size, he's 5'10", 175. To me, he makes a really good kind of matchup slot corner. You know, if you're playing against a guy, you know, I think of like a Devin Duvernay from Texas from a couple of years back. Billy Bowman might be the guy that you want to go ahead and match up with Devin Duvernay because he's a smaller, shiftier guy that you want to put in man coverage and let him go to work on him. But you don't necessarily want him out there on the outside matching up against a Hakeem Butler type, kind of like we were talking about in the previous segment. You want to get these long cornerbacks so you can have scheme flexibility, scheme versatility. You can play some cover two, cover three, cover four, because you got these longer guys. You can play some press man. Billy Bowman's size may not really allow him to play some press man on the outside, but you might be able to use him as a matchup slot, or even against a guy like Puka Williams or Deuce. Puka Williams has gone to the NFL, but Deuce up at Kansas State, you know, small, shifty running back. To me, that's a really good matchup option. That's a guy that's killed you. But if you could throw Billy Bowman out there to say, hey, you're going to shadow this guy. If he goes out into a route, you're going to cover him. If he stays in the block, go ahead and I'm going to send you on a blitz. Or you can drop into a zone, you can spy, something like that. But I think it's going to behoove the Oklahoma Sooners to find as many snaps for him as they can. Punt returner, kick returner, defensive back, wide receiver, especially early in his career, just to let him feel out where he might fit best. Because it's a different thing when you get into the college game, but he's such a dynamic player. You don't want to limit his opportunities. You don't want to limit his capability. But I think they've got time. They don't have to figure this out right away. But yeah, I mean, I think kind of almost, and he could be kind of the guy that takes over in the slot when Drake Stoops is done. You know, he can be a guy that you fill in there at wide receiver. But I think it's going to be a really interesting conversation, something to continue to watch. But I think we're both in agreement here that right now it's both.
Yeah, you mentioned the word versatility, and that's exactly what he gives, right? I mean, and look, if they put him on that side of the football, on the offensive side, as much as I love Drake Stoops, he might not have to wait till Drake Stoops is done. He might tell Drake it's my turn right now. Yeah, he's that talented. So I think that versatility is huge, what he brings, but I also think he's an interesting case because they have an opportunity here to send a message to recruits through Billy Bowman, through how they use him, that he's a guy that you're not going to have a guy like him probably in every recruiting class. But when a guy like that presents itself, if you are open-minded and you are creative in how you use him, maybe you even use him in the return game because he can do that too. But you get him on the field in multiple ways. You allow him possibly even, you know, for the first year to play on both sides of the football to show that you're willing to do that. And you find opportunities, maybe if it's in quote unquote mop up time and you put him out there with the offense, if he's primarily defense or vice versa, but you show, hey, look, this is what we did with Billy Bowman. We gave him a chance to play both. He settled in by his sophomore year or his junior year to this role. And he got drafted in the first or second round, whatever that is. Now you all of a sudden you have this experiment that you can point to and say, hey, this is what we did with Billy Bowman. We can do the same thing with you. And when those opportunities present themselves, there's not that many times it's going to happen. The same thing, you know, you go back to the Kyler Murray situation and say, hey, you want to play baseball? Okay, we'll work with that. And then we can really start to have those kind of conversations where we can have historical evidence of what we do and how we can get creative when it might not be, you know, the most inside the box scenario. We'll work with you. We'll make it work. And then we'll have this story to tell for recruits down the road.
And, you know, the thing that comes to mind is how they utilize their H-backs. And it's why they have become so successful at recruiting these guys that have, you know, that versatility. They can be running backs, they can be fullbacks, they can be tight ends. It's because they've shown the evidence, as you mentioned, of how they utilize these guys and figuring out a way to use an athlete like Billy Bowman. And that's what he's going to be because he's kind of a positionless player. It's only going to benefit them in those recruiting battles when they have opportunities to go after similar type guys like a Deuce or a Puka Williams, these guys that are, you may not know where to put them right away, or they might be a running back or they might be a wide receiver, but you're willing to throw them out there however you can scheme them up because they're just such a weapon. And it's going to be a lot of fun to see Lincoln Riley get his hands on him. And we'll continue to follow that story as spring football comes. And as we get into, you know, the fall camp in August and get some news and reports on where they are lining Billy Bowman up. We'll continue to talk about it here on the Locked On Sooners podcast, but thank you so much for joining us. That's going to do it for today's show. Make sure you come back for tomorrow's show. Last week, we gave you our all-time offense for the Bob Stoops era. On tomorrow's show, we're going to give you our all-time defense for the Bob Stoops era. And I think there's going to be some really interesting discussions. There's a lot of big time names. I'm just in my mind thinking of the smash mouth defensive football that some of these guys bring to the table. That's going to be a lot of fun. So you're going to want to make sure that you're tuned in for our Friday edition. Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Sooners. Check us out on Facebook, Locked On Sooners Podcast. For David Walker, I'm John Williams. Boomer.
Sooner.
We'll see you tomorrow.